James chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading here in verse number 16. James 1:16, the Bible says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Here he's talking, of course, to the brethren. Amen. Those that are saved. And he says, "My beloved brethren," those that he loves, he says, "Don't err." Amen. Don't be in error about this. He says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." We see here that he says every good gift is where? From above. Amen. Where is every perfect gift from? Above. Amen. So every good gift and every perfect gift comes from, if you want to say it in one word, God. Amen. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from Him and comes down to us. I think about this morning, you know, that's something we need to realize, because a lot of people think, well, I did this, or I have accomplished this. No, if it's a good thing, amen, a good gift, if it's a perfect gift, something that you have, a talent, an ability, whatever of that nature, anything that you accomplish or that you're given in your life by the Lord through your life, realize that all those good things, they all come from Him. Amen. He's the one who's gave them to you, and it's all from above. Amen. And those words are important. Every and from above. Amen. They all come from Him. It says, "And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." In other words, He don't change. Amen. And He gives the good gifts. Amen. And He gives the perfect gifts. And all those things come from Him. So that's a good, important verse by way of introduction this morning. But look with me over at 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And kind of look at these two verses together this morning, if you will, as we get started. Every gift comes from Him. Good and perfect gifts comes from above. It comes from the Lord, the one that does not change. I'm glad this morning for His gifts. Amen. You think about this morning, I think that all of us enjoy gifts in the earthly sense, although Proverbs has a warning about that. But we'll leave that alone. I won't go in that direction this morning. But this morning, simply the fact that we all enjoy gifts, we all like gifts, whether it be a birthday gift, amen, whether it be a Christmas gift, right, or whether it be just a gift of thank you, amen, of I just want to let you know I appreciate you, amen. I think about this week, Bilo gave us a gift. But it really wasn't a gift, because we worked for it and earned it. We got a little bonus check. Amen. And I was thankful for that, although it's not a gift. It's something we worked, we earned, if you will, whereas a true gift's not something you work and earn. But it was something extra, I guess you might say. But you think about the fact that here in 2 Corinthians, there's another good verse about a gift that comes from God. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 15, the Bible says here, "Thanks be unto God for His," what? Is that next word? "Unspeakable gift." Amen. May I say this morning that God's given us many gifts. He's given us a lot of good gifts. He's given us a lot of perfect gifts. A lot of things He's given to us in our lives. But there's one gift that the Bible says, that Paul said, thanks to God for this, because it's an unspeakable gift. This morning, we're going to talk for a few minutes about God's gift. About God's gift and some gifts that God has given to us, if you will, in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You for everything that You've done. Thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for the gifts that You've given to us, dear Lord. And one of those gifts, dear Lord, is the gift of another day. The gift to breathe, to get up this morning, to come to church, dear Lord, and to another Lord's Day in Your house. And dear Lord, I pray this morning that You would help us, dear Lord, as we look into Your Word, that You would stir our hearts, dear Lord, that You would do only what You can do in our midst, dear Father. And dear Lord, I pray this morning that You would, maybe this morning, if some of us come down kind of in the doldrums, so to speak, discouraged, downhearted, that You might help this morning stir our hearts, give us the joy back, that, dear Father, we might see this morning the many gifts, the good and the perfect gifts, and especially the unspeakable gift that You've given to us this morning. Help me, I pray. Use me. Use Your Word as only You can, and Your Holy Spirit to work it into our hearts, that we might apply it as we even learned about and talked about in Sunday school this morning, and that we might do the things that be honor and pleasing to you. We thank you for what you do ahead of time, and we seek your help this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking this morning about God's gift. We see that every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the God that does not change. And here in 2 Corinthians 9:15, we see there is an unspeakable gift. Now I think this morning we all know what that unspeakable gift is that it's referring to here. Amen. And that will be our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the first gift that God's given this morning is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 this morning, we're all familiar with that verse. I asked David this morning as we was back there and I was studying, I asked him, I said, David, can you tell me John 3:16? And he quoted it off real good. He remembered the whole thing. You think about, for God so loved the world, amen, that He gave His only begotten Son. That sounds like a gift to me, don't it to you? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You think about this morning, what a gift that God gave to us in a Savior. Amen. What a gift that was given. Not a gift just to me, although it was just for me. Amen. But it was given and made available to the whole world today. Amen. I'm thankful this morning for the unspeakable gift that God's given to me and you this morning of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the greatest gift that has ever been given and ever will be given this morning to all mankind. Can somebody say amen? I think about this morning just for a minute, and I wonder if somebody would like to share with me this morning about, just right off the top of your head, I know you're unprepared, but if one person would like to share with me the greatest gift that you ever received in a material sense. A good gift, maybe Christmas, your birthday, some gift that you received. Anybody?
Material?
Yeah, material thing.
5 years old, a bicycle.
Amen. Got a bicycle. David?
My favorite gift was
too many to remember, huh?
It was that Mario. They got that game.
Oh yeah, the entertainment system. All right. That was a good one for your birthday. That's right. Anybody else, a gift that you got that's really stuck out to you that you remember? Bicycle, entertainment system, game system. Anybody else? Karen, what's a gift that you got you remember that you liked?
Money.
Money. There you go. Amen. That's my favorite gift. Amen. That and a Zaxby's gift card. You can't get no better.
Another one.
Yeah?
In third grade for memorization. Little glow in the dark cross.
Huh.
I kept that for years. It's disappeared.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but that really stuck in my mind.
Amen. Amen. You think about, we've all got gifts that stick in our minds. If I had to say the most memorable gift that I was ever given, that I remember here on this earth when I was younger, and that was 1 year for Christmas, I got a Joe Montana rookie card. And the gift was memorable because it was something I really, really, really wanted. But it's not so much memorable because of the gift, but it's because of Mom and Dad dragging out the gift. And I probably told y'all this story before, but I got up one morning and it was Christmas morning. Matter of fact, they got it recorded somewhere at home on an old video. But anyway, got up out of bed one Christmas morning and here's everybody in the family over there at the house. You know, all the extended family and everything. Many of them was over there. I can't remember who all was, but it was a fairly expensive gift, and so everybody had kind of pitched in to get me that Joe Montana rookie card I had wanted and for Christmas. And so I got up that morning, and here's everybody, you know, Christmas morning over at the house. This is kind of different and odd. And so I went in there and opened presents, and then there was one present, and I opened it, and then it had a piece of paper saying, go here. And then I went there, and then it was another, open this, and there's another piece of paper saying, go here. And I went everywhere around the whole house until I got tired of going around the whole house. And then finally at the end, Brother Brent, I opened a present inside of a present inside of a present, if I remember right. And long story short, at the end, inside of there was my Joe Montana rookie card that I had wanted. And I thought, boy, that's the best gift in the world because, after all, it was the best quarterback that's ever played football that was on that card. And I think about the fact that that was one of the greatest gifts that I had ever been given, if you will, and I've never forgotten that gift. and you think about the fact that this morning there's, you know, that gift excited me. If you take, when you was to watch that video, you'd see I was excited about that gift that I got. You think back about the bicycle. I'm sure Maria was excited about that gift that she got. David was excited about his gift. I'm sure Karen was excited about that money. Amen. And you think about the fact we get excited when we're given great and good gifts. Amen. But I think about this morning, how about this morning when you think about the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, does it still excite you? I think about when I think about the day that I was given that gift, I still get excited and it brings good memories to think back of the day that I was given that gift. It's something I'll never forget. And I believe the same thing's true when it comes to salvation. Amen. You may not remember the day and the time, although it's a good thing to write it down if you know you can when that happens. But some of you may not remember the day and the time and all that type of thing, but you'll remember that event. Amen. You remember that place where you was when the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, when you met the Savior. Amen. You think about what a gift that was given. You think about this morning, that ought to excite our hearts this morning. You say, and I say this morning strongly, but then I'll back it up with some Scripture here in just a minute, that if the Savior and His gift don't excite your heart this morning, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. Either you don't know the gift and you've never really truly experienced receiving that gift, or something's grown wrong in your heart this morning. The day David talked about that, David did over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 51. If you turn with me there, we're going to read a few verses here. Psalms chapter number 51 this morning. We're talking about God's gift of the Savior. Psalms 51 and verse number 1. The Bible says in Psalms 51:1, David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness." He's asking for mercy here. "According to the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." So here we see a prayer from David where he's praying, asking God to forgive him of his sin, right? If you will, and to have mercy on him. Let's read on. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions." He's acknowledging, he's asking God to forgive him, he's praying to him about his sin. "And my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." He's admitting it. "That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." He wants a clear account with God. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." In other words, his heart was broken, I believe is what he's referring to there. And that God had been correcting him, if you will, because of some sin and things here in his life. This chapter is specifically talking about here when he was being corrected by Nathan the prophet after the sin with Bathsheba. His heart was broken over it. God was correcting him. God was punishing him, if you will, because of what he had done, as his sin was pointed out as being wrong. He was asking God to forgive him, to cleanse him. Verse number 9, it says, "Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Notice verse 12, though. "Restore unto me," what's those words? "The joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free Spirit." In other words, stop just for a second. The reason why I made the statement I did a while ago, the fact that if the Savior's gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not excite you, amen, this morning still, then there's something wrong. Amen. That's what happened in the life of David. Because of the sin that he allowed, the condition that he got in, what happened? His relationship with God was broke. Things wasn't where they needed to be anymore. He had lost the joy of his salvation. You say, how did you know he lost the joy of his salvation? Because he said, "Restore it to me." Amen. How do you know it's important? Why? Because he said, "Hey, give it back to me again." Amen. He had lost the joy that he once had about what Jesus Christ had done in his heart. How often do you and I get in that shape this morning? Let's be honest. Have you ever been there before? Every hand in our hearts ought to be going up right now. We've all got there before at some point or another, I'm sure, where we've lost the joy of our salvation. What causes us to get that way? The fact we lose sight of really what He's done, but a lot of times it's what happened to David here. We allow the sin and the things of this world to bog us down. You think about this morning, we need to lay aside, as Brother Brent talked about in Sunday school, and sometimes it's that sin. Amen. You think about here, he had to lay aside some sin in his life. That way God might restore to him the joy that he once had in his heart and in his life. You sit here this morning, I ask you, do you still have the joy of the Lord in your heart this morning? If you don't, and you know you're saved, maybe it's because there's some sin in your heart and life. Maybe there's some house cleaning that needs to go on this morning, if you will. Maybe it's time for some spring cleaning this morning. Amen. And to do as David did and to get down on your face before God and say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me. Give me that joy back again. Make me to hear joy, as he said in verse 8, rather than this correction that I'm receiving. Let me have joy, dear Lord. Forgive me for the things that I've done. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. And then in verse 13, there's a result that happened. Once he's got forgiveness, once the Lord gives him his joy back, there's something that'll take place. Because the word then tells us that. Will I teach transgressors thy ways? And sinners shall be converted unto thee. In other words, once he got himself right, once he got the joy of the Lord back in his heart and the joy of his salvation back again, what could happen? He could be used to teach others how to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You think about today, I ask myself this question, I hope you do oftentimes, Lord, help me to be a better witness. Help me to share the gospel more. Help me to see souls saved. You using me in that way more. Maybe the reason why we don't sometimes is because we're so bogged down in sin. You say it's hard for me to share the gospel. You know, maybe it's because you're not as excited as you ought to be about it because we're all wrapped up in these things of sin and pleasure in the world and the fact that we've lost sight of the joy of our salvation. Because if you're joyful and excited about something, you can't help but talk about it. Amen. You can't help but for it to come out. And he said, once he got the joy back, then will I teach. Once he got his joy back, he would teach and he would share the goodness of what God had done in his life. Amen. We need our joy back. You think about today, that's why we say things like a lot of times, and it's true, that Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world. Amen. We ought to be the most joyful. We ought to walk around with smiles on our faces. Amen. We ought to walk around letting others know. You know, it was a blessing to me the other day, and I don't know why, because I don't feel this way, but it's the Lord, I guess. It's not me for sure. But I had somebody the other day at work tell me, you always act smile. You always act happy. You always laughing. And I thought to myself, well, I'm glad they see it because I don't. They must be blind. They don't see. They see something that I don't see. But that's the Lord. Amen. I don't know what else to say because I feel like I'm not that way. I need to be more that way a lot of times. But apparently somebody's seeing it. Amen. You think about, I'm simply saying today that the Lord gives us the joy. We need to go back. You say, I don't have the joy that I once had about being saved. I'm not as excited about the Lord as what I used to be. Do like David. Get down, pray, ask the Lord to forgive you of sin in your heart, and ask Him to give you that joy back of your salvation. Amen. That sounds like revival to me is what he's asking. Amen. Admitting his sin, asking the Lord to give him his joy back that he once had, that he had lost in his heart. You think about today. Restore, he said. And if the Lord would restore that joy, I think there would be restoration in the fact of others coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So this morning, simply, we need to say that God's gift first, that unspeakable gift, is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word unspeakable this morning that's used in 2 Corinthians 9:15, the word unspeakable means this, indescribable. Amen. Indescribable. Not the fact that you can't speak about it or it's unspeakable. Shh, don't talk about it. You know, keep it quiet. That's not what it means. Unspeakable means that it's indescribable. Or in other words, we might say it this way, words cannot explain it. Amen. Words cannot explain this gift. It's unspeakable. You can't speak it in human words to fully describe what this gift is. Amen. You think about today, do we feel that way about the gift of our Savior. You see, God's gift to us, the best gift, the greatest gift that ever was given, was the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 5, and we'll see another gift that God's given to us mentioned. And there's countless verses that could be used for all these points this morning, but we'll just stick to one for the sake of time. Romans 5 and verse number 5. Romans 5:5. This morning we see the second gift that God gave. Romans 5 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is what? Given unto us." Amen. In other words, the second gift, and I'm not going to spend much time here because we talked about this Wednesday night for those of you that was here, but we see here that the second gift God's given is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. The Holy Ghost. In other words, simply the Spirit, if you will. The first gift was the Savior. The second is the Spirit. Amen. I'm glad today to know that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit of God living within every child of God. Amen. You don't have to pray, as some have got confused about, "Lord, let your Holy Spirit come and indwell me." You don't have to pray that prayer. Amen. At the moment that you get saved, that indwelling Holy Spirit comes and abides and is there forever on this earth. Amen. I'm glad today to know if you're saved, His Holy Spirit is there. Now we need to pray, "Lord, you know, fill me of your Holy Spirit. Help use, control that daily walking in the Spirit. Help me to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh," that the Bible talks about. But once we get saved, we're given the gift of His Holy Spirit. It's given to us. Amen. I'm glad today that because of the love of God, He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We mentioned this Wednesday night, but think about how different life would be without the Holy Spirit of God living within you as a believer. Think about how different your life would be. It's a powerful thought to think about. It's a gift this morning of the Holy Spirit that comforts us in times in our lives where we need comfort. It's a gift that empowers us in times where we can't make it. We're incapable of doing certain things. It's a gift that gives us joy in our hearts. Amen. Knowing that the Holy Spirit's there, He gives us that joy that we've got one coming along, walking alongside of us every day, everywhere we go. You've heard the saying for many years that, you know, God's not looking for ability, but availability. Amen. Why is that saying true? Because if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? All you got to do is be available for the Holy Spirit, for the Lord to use you, and that Holy Spirit to give you that ability. Amen. He'll give you the ability you need, the Holy Spirit will, that lives within you, if you make yourself available to do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Make yourself available to do what God wants you to do this morning. But that's the first and the second gift. The first gift's the Savior. The second's the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit. But the third this morning is found in John chapter number 4. And I kind of already preached this point, so we'll go through it quickly. To John 4 and verse number 10. John 4 and verse number 10 this morning. John 4:10. We won't read all the verses here because you're familiar with the woman at the well. Amen. We know a woman that was caught up in sin and adulteress and all been married all these times and different things, and now she was living with somebody that wasn't her husband. The Bible says in John 4:10, we'll pick it up there, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God," there's the words, "and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Amen. "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come to draw." Amen. I got to get some water on that one. Amen. I thirsted again. But I'm simply saying this morning, the fact that the third gift that God's given to us is salvation. Amen. She said, the Lord said, "Hey," He said, "I'll give you water." Well, you'll never thirst again. In other words, He could give the gift of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also salvation. You think about today what a gift the gift of salvation is. Amen. It's a gift of God this morning. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. You think about this morning what a gift the gift of salvation is. I think we take for granted sometimes this morning the gift of salvation. Amen. I think we take it for granted a lot of times. We don't get excited. Like I said, the joy of our salvation, of our Savior, but also the gift of salvation in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is only a gift this morning that saves us from our sin debt. Amen. It's only a gift this morning that through Him we can be forgiven of every one of our sins this morning. It's through this gift of salvation that we can escape the punishment of spending eternity in a place called hell this morning. Amen. You think about it, that's all the gift is. That's all it is this morning. I tell you, that's an amazing gift right there. Amen. That's a gift that a lot of times we should never lose the joy of. We should never lose the joy of our salvation and what our Savior's done for us. And that now, because of this gift, we can have eternity in heaven with Him forever. You think about what a gift, the unspeakable gift of the Savior, the Spirit, but third, salvation. Look with me at another gift. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians 12, and we see the fourth gift this morning. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9. And boy, am I really thankful for this gift. I'm really thankful. I've experienced it many times in my life, and I think you have too. If you're here and you're saved this morning for any length of time, you've experienced it. 2 Corinthians 12, we see here Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and Paul's praying, asking the Lord to take away this thorn in the flesh. Three times he had prayed and asked the Lord to take it away, but the Lord hadn't taken it away. He hadn't let it depart from him. But in verse 9, we see what the Lord's answer was, and He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I believe God's given every believer this morning the gift, if you will, of sufficient grace. Amen. Sufficient grace. I'm not talking about saving grace, but I'm talking here, we already talked about that, but I'm talking about a sufficient grace. A grace that'll take this morning and that'll be sufficient to help you through whatever we face in life. Amen. Whether it be a physical ailment, God's grace is sufficient to help you. Some of y'all right there can say amen. You've been through things recently in the last year or two or a few months, got physically, and God's grace has helped you through those things. Amen. It may have looked like, well, how am I going to get this thing fixed? How am I going to get past this physical issue? That's the way Paul was. He had had this thing his whole life, and God didn't take it away. He didn't move the mountain, if you will, but what He did was He moved him and gave Paul the strength through this thorn in the flesh. Amen. His grace was sufficient this morning. No matter what we may face in this life as God's children, remember that His grace is always sufficient. God's riches at Christ's expense. That sounds like a gift to me if I ever seen one. Amen. Something that's given at someone else's expense. That is the grace of God. Amen. That is a gift if there ever was one. Somebody else pays the cost of that gift and they take and give it to you. Amen. Out of love for their heart. For you. I think that's exactly what God's grace is. Out of love for His children, He takes and He's there for us. What a gift. Where would we be this morning without the grace of God? We'd be lost. Amen. Where would we be this morning without the grace of God in our lives as His children to help us, to give us that strength that we need through the things that we face in life? But lastly, if you will, Romans chapter number 6, if you'll turn with me there. You're familiar with this verse this morning. But it's a good verse that we always need to remember. Romans 6 and verse number 23. Romans 6 and verse number 23 this morning. Romans 6, 23, you're familiar with it. The Bible says, For the wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. Amen. That's what we rightfully would receive and will receive in our life if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what your paycheck will be one day. For the wages of sin is death. Separation from God eternally. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm glad today to know, lastly, that the gift, another gift that God's given us, is the gift to turn sinners to saints. Amen. The gift to turn sinners into saints, to make us through the mercy of God and the grace of God, to take and give us the gift of eternal life through Him, to give us the gift that we're made justified, just as if we've never sinned, to turn us from a sinner to a saint. When I say the word saint this morning, what pops in your mind? Saint. Somebody help me. What's the word saint? What comes into your mind? Anybody? You wear green on one of the days. One of the things that pops into my mind. St. Patrick's Day. Right? Another saint. When I think about saints, I think about St. Peter, St. Mark, St. all this, that the Catholic Church. I think that's what comes to a lot of people's minds when you use the word saint, the average person out there in the world today. But you think about this morning, what does that mean? Can only St. Paul be a saint? Can only St. Patrick be a saint? Can you only be a saint once you're dead and gone and the Catholic Church declares you're a saint later on? No, that's not what the Bible teaches at all, is it? This morning you can become instantly a saint. You say, what do you mean? Because you're born a sinner, for the wages of sin is death. But at the moment that you accept the gift of God, guess what you become? A saint. You think about it, I'm simply saying today, He can turn sinners into saints. What a gift this morning that all sinners have the opportunity to accept the gift of God of salvation that we mentioned earlier and be turned from a sinner to a saint. What a gift of God this morning. There ain't no gift I can give you like that. Amen. Ain't no gift nobody else can give you like that. You think about today, we got all kinds of programs our government does. And some of them work better than others. I'm not getting into none of that. But all kinds of programs to try to get people to turn from their wicked ways to being a good citizen, right? To being a good person, to stopping this, to doing that. To stop the thief from stealing, to stop the drug addict from keep using the illegal drugs. All these types of things and programs and stuff that we have. But there's a program that in the eyes of God can turn every sinner into a saint. And that's the gift of salvation. You think about this morning, what a gift it is. We are not saints because of the Catholic Church this morning, but because of Christ. Amen. We're not saints because of the Catholic Church, because of Christ. We're not saints this morning because the Pope has declared it. I don't care what he says. We're saints this morning because of the high priest. Amen. What our priest says, not what the Pope says. We're not this morning made saints because of our works. Amen. But we're made saints this morning because of His work. Amen. You think about this morning, why do they declare these to people that they declare saints? Because of the great things that they did. No, the Bible says there's none that doeth good. No, not one. You can be as good as you want to your whole life, but you know what? You'll never attain to being a saint that way. Amen. I don't care how good Mother Teresa was. I don't care how good you may think the greatest person that lives down the road from you is and how much money they may give to charity as a philanthropist or whatever they may do or how they may always be going out every day trying to help people. And all those things are great and wonderful, but that'll never make a person a saint. There's only one thing, and that's the Savior. Amen. There's only one thing that can turn a sinner into a saint, and that's the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about this morning, all these gifts that I named this morning really could be all be summed up as one gift, couldn't they? And that's the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about all these could really be summed up and come from inside one present, one gift, and that's salvation in Him. You think about today, what a gift we've been given in the Lord. What a gift we've been given in the Lord Jesus Christ today. You think about today, what a great, unspeakable, indescribable gift that's beyond words. But yet, what has the Lord called us to do? To go out and to tell others about His gift. This morning I ask you, are you telling people about His gift? You say it's hard to tell people about His gift. Today I encourage you to go talk to the Lord about it, because you think about this morning, that gift, should it really be so hard to tell others about what a great gift you was given? We have no problem at Christmas time. What did you get for Christmas? We have no people at our birthdays. I got this gift. We have no problem Father's Day, Mother's Day, whatever other day, telling what gift we were given. Why is it so hard when it comes to telling others about the greatest gift that ever was given, the Lord Jesus Christ? I submit to you that I think a lot of times is why. It's because what we talked about this morning, because we've got so bogged down and burdened down with sin and the things of this world that we don't have the joy anymore and the excitement anymore that we ought to have of His unspeakable gift. Instead we say, oh, I got the unspeakable gift, I don't speak about it. How sad this morning if that was the case. How sad. It's an unspeakable, undiscernible, indescribable gift that He's given in Jesus. Let's pray.